Have you ever noticed that the more pages your healthcare agreement has, the fewer choices you seem to have? Hi, I'm Rob West. One reason that health plan guides are so long is because it takes a lot of ink to explain in-network versus out-of-network coverage and costs. I'll talk with Lauren Gydeck today about how you can eliminate all that mumbo-jumbo. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, there's no question that Lauren Gydeck is one of our favorite guests here on the program because she always brings important information that listeners need to know. She's Vice President of Communications and Media at Christian Healthcare Ministries, an underwriter of this program. Lauren, great to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me back on the program, Rob.
Absolutely. Now, I mentioned in-network versus out-of-network medical costs, and that's something that consumers really need to be aware of, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I would say even so much the more so during, you know, this is kind of the peak of the summer travel season. Yeah. And, you know, you don't want to think about those sorts of things, but a medical incident can happen at any time. So there's a lot of pent-up demand, travel demand following the pandemic. And folks just need to be aware that, you know, if they're going to a hospital, you know, the emergency room will probably be considered in-network. But there's a lot of other charges that might occur that would not be considered in network under an insurance plan. So just be aware, you know, you don't want to end up getting stuck with 20 or 30% of the bill.
Yeah, no question about that. We really need to be careful there. You know, one of the most popular topics you see these days on social media, Lauren, is what are known as life hacks, a better way to do something that people may not think of. And you've certainly got a life hack for healthcare, no networks. Tell us how that works.
Sure. Yeah. Christian Healthcare Ministries, we're not an insurance company. And for that reason, we are not bound to a list of healthcare providers that you have to see. We do share 100% of eligible medical bills. And what I mean by that is as long as they're eligible, the treatment is eligible according to our guidelines, you have great freedom. You can go to any doctor or any hospital that you want to go to. You can keep your doctor. You know, you just have a lot of choices with Christian Healthcare Ministries versus a traditional plan.
Well, and if that isn't amazing enough, when you become a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, you get something even more valuable, don't you?
Yes. I think the most important thing about CHM is that, you know, this is a ministry. We care about our members, the patients. You know, we pray with them. This is something that aligns with a biblical worldview. And you also know where your dollars are going. So what our model does is it allows you to understand what you're being charged for your health care. And in addition to that, we have very low administrative costs. Even for a nonprofit organization, we are on the extreme low end at under 10% of your dollars going toward administrative costs. So you can feel really good about sending money in every month because you know almost all of that money is going to help another Christian with a medical need.
Yeah, that's really important. Lauren, in the minute we have left, just give our listeners a brief explanation of how CHM works.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. So this is a membership-based program. So you join CHM, and should you incur medical bills, what you do is you send them in to the ministry. We'll work with your healthcare providers to see if we can get discounts on those bills. And then we'll do what we call share those bills. So we will send you a check, you the patient, and you pay your healthcare providers directly. And we've shared in our 40-plus year history, this has worked extremely well. We've shared nearly $10 billion with a B, of medical bill costs.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And what a lot of our listeners may not know is that CHM is really the longest serving organization in this space, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Wow. Incredible. Well, folks, this could be the answer you've been looking for to cover your healthcare costs in a way that's not only budget friendly, but with fellow believers encouraging and praying for you along the way. Lauren, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To learn more, go to chministries.org. That's chministries.org. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. Stay tuned.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Here in the Western Hemisphere, we are addicted to glory, aren't we? The biggest superstars sell out their stadiums and even cause entire websites to crash because of how many people want to see them. The Super Bowl and the biggest sporting events draw millions of eyes, and we can't stop talking about the amazing sights we've seen. Celebrities have become icons. But listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians, "Let no one glory in people." People at the end of the day are just that, people, made in the image of God, yet sinful. People are amazing, but they're just people. Only the Lord is worthy of our worship and our praise. In Christ alone, we find glory. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's
that's
why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can
exactly.
be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. All right, it's time to turn the corner and take your calls on anything financial. We began the day by talking about how you can cover the cost of healthcare, but now we want to pivot and address whatever's on your mind financially. The number to call with lines open, Robert Youngblood standing by to take your calls today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. 7,000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in beautiful Hawaii. Noel, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Yeah. Hi, aloha. I have a question. My wife and I are actually retired, and in today's market, with the overinflated values of stocks and current stock and market conditions, it appears that a correction is imminent, and we would like to know, how would you suggest investing, a significant chunk of money where it's at a minimal risk for the greatest return? And the question is, do you recommend bonds, ETFs, putting a put, like a safety net on the bonds, or if there's a different financial platform that you would recommend?
Yeah, very good, Noel. Let me just ask a couple of questions. What is your age and work status?
Okay, so my wife and I are both 60. We are retired, and we are just wanting the best return on you know, our money, where we would like to see it grow, but we don't want to see it get caught in the in a correction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, I think the key is just to balance that allocation of investments in a way that's appropriate for your age and risk tolerance. So as 60-year-old, as a 60-year-old couple that's already retired, you know, often we would look at this at a high level, and this is obviously, I'm talking generalities here because I don't know the details of your specific situation, but I would say, you know, typically at this stage of life, we'd be looking at a portfolio of about 50-50 stocks to bonds. If you wanted an allocation of precious metals, I'd go up to 10% there, you know, and so perhaps you go 45-45-10, something like that. But let me ask, are you drawing an income from these investments right now, or are they just continuing to grow?
They're just continuing to grow, and and we're holding a cash position.
Okay, very good. Yeah, and what is your primary income source at this point?
We just have like other like personal property investment.
Yeah, great. So you're in a really great spot because you're retired, your bills are covered, and ideally that would continue and could ultimately be converted upon the sale of those properties to additional assets that could be income generating in a more passive way. But right now your bills are covered, so you're free to take this portfolio and deploy it, and as you said, in a way that's wise, that allows you to focus on preserving what you have, but actually growing it modestly. Now, you mentioned just what's going on in our nation today and the condition of the country. You mentioned the overvalued stock market. I would agree. We've got a lot of headwinds. We've got some challenges on the horizon with regard to our national debt. You know, we could talk about just economically in the U.S. dollar and some of those long-term trends. You know, could a debt crisis in this country be plausible now, where I don't think it really was, you know, a decade ago or more? Yes. I mean, we're certainly getting up with the deficits we're running and the debt that we have, you know, into a place where we need to at least be watching that. I don't think anything is imminent by any means. We're still the largest and strongest economy in the world. The U.S. dollar essentially has no rival at this point, with 60% of the global reserves and 90% of the foreign trades happening in the U.S. dollar. There's just really not another alternative at this point to the U.S. dollar, despite our challenges and debt levels, and we could go down the list. I think, you know, in terms of the best way to protect and grow your wealth, to overcome the loss of the purchasing power through inflation, a stock and bond portfolio in real companies with high quality bonds, both corporate and government, I still believe is the very best way to grow your wealth. I love real estate. Sounds like you all are participating there, but I think being diversified among asset classes, so in addition to having the real estate that you have, having a stock and bond portfolio, I believe, at least based on what we know today and for the foreseeable future, that's still going to be the very best place for you to protect and grow this money, perhaps with an allocation of the precious metals. What about those bonds you mentioned? Yeah, I would use high quality corporates and governments. Depending on the amount you have, you could buy individual bonds or you could go the ETF route. It doesn't really matter to me. The good news is that you mentioned overvalued stocks, and yes, I think they are perhaps a little, the PEs are a little high right now, just given what's going on, but the market is cyclical, and I don't have any reason to believe we're not just in a cycle, and we will continue to see over time a stock and bond portfolio outperform every other asset class in terms of long-term performance and limited volatility. We're also entering a season here, Noel, where bonds will do well. We've had 11 consecutive rate hikes with the Federal Reserve, rivaling only a few times in history in terms of the pace of increase of interest rates. That will roll over as inflation comes down, and it is. Could we hit a recession? Sure. But eventually those interest rates will start down, bond prices will go up, and you will do well. So whereas bonds have been under pressure in the last year, we're entering a season where they're going to do quite well. So where would I go from here? Well, I'd build a diversified portfolio of stocks, bonds, and precious metals. As I said, as a starting point, that 45-45-10 would be a good place, I think, for you to go. And I wouldn't worry about the PEs today, because at 60, you have a decades-long need for this money. And we're not trying to time the market. Nobody knows whether, we didn't anticipate the strength of the market through July 31st of this year. And we don't know what'll happen later this year or into next year. Are we going to hit a recession? Are we going to have that soft landing? Nobody knows, but it doesn't matter, because you're not looking out 6 months or a year. You need to be thinking about decades and preserving your purchasing power, protecting your money, and growing it so you can give generously and meet your needs and care for others. So that would be my best advice. In terms of the actual specific investments, I'd recommend you connect with an advisor, or if you have the time and the expertise, you can build that yourself. And again, I'd be fine with ETFs or individual bonds. It really comes down to the size of the portfolio. But I've said a lot there. Give me your thoughts.
I really appreciate and agree, and I value what you have to say. On the puts, I don't know really what how a put works. I understand it is a little bit of like an insurance position on like an ETF. If we did like a bond ETF, yeah. And there are also triple, I think there's like triple asset ETFs where, they will go up at a multiplied rate, and they'll also come down at the equal rate. Putting a put on it, do you think that is a wise position, or do you think it's a waste of money?
They can be used quite effectively, but you have to know what you're doing. When you buy a put option, you're essentially saying that you think that the value of the underlying stock will decrease in value over the course of the contract. When you buy one, when you sell one, you're saying the value of the underlying stock will increase or stay the same over the course of the contract. It can be a way to add to your income on the investments, but if you're not familiar with puts and calls, I would probably stay away from it and just invest directly in the asset. Noel, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open today, three of them, in fact. That's the opportunity for you to get in on the conversation with your financial questions. The number to call is 800-525-7000. By the way, that's the same phone number that goes all the way back to Larry Burkett, which is just kind of fun. People have been calling that number for decades, asking their financial questions, trusting that they'll get biblically wise financial advice. That's certainly our goal here on this program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, Mississippi is where we're headed next. Hi, Sherry. Thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, sir. I've got a question about my mortgage. I'm a widower of 7 years, and the mortgage itself was in his name, and I took care of all the legal documents, but the mortgage company does not have my name on it, and the courthouse says it took care of survivorship, which is the widower, and it was all transferred over, and everything's taken care of. Why do they continue for 7 years putting it in the estate of the husband's name? There is no estate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little strange. I mean, basically, federal law requires and clears the way for you as a spouse to assume that mortgage. So whether you're on the name or not, federal law requires lenders to allow family members to assume the mortgage if they inherit the property. Now, they don't have to keep the mortgage. They could pay it off, refinance, or sell it, but they have to allow you to assume it. And normally that involves them putting your name on the mortgage. So clearly you've contacted them, provided all the information at this point?
Yes, everything. Uh-huh. Okay. Immediately.
And what are they saying about that?
Nothing other than you need to refinance. And I'm saying, I don't understand, and I've called back more than one time, and they continue to say refinance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have a vested interest in you refinancing because that's when they can charge a few more fees. The bottom line is federal law allows you to assume that mortgage. You have no obligation to refinance that property. And they know that, which is why they allowed you to continue to pay on it and not called the note or anything like that. So I wouldn't be terribly concerned about it. Your name obviously is on the deed recorded with the county, correct?
Yes, sir, it is. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, so then I wouldn't worry about that note. I mean, they've got a lien on the property, and as long as they're getting paid, they're happy. Right. I might try to escalate it. I mean, it sounds like you've already done this, but maybe to another department just to say, listen, I'm not refinancing. I've wanted to assume the mortgage uh-huh. as the spouse, and I'd like my name on it, and see if you can get to somebody who can help you. But at the end of the day, if they won't, it's as far as I'm concerned, there's really not any negative implications to that.
Well, I did say assume when I, did my inquiring, and they just wouldn't even discuss that. It says it's not available.
Okay.
And I just want to make sure that my two children, which is where it will be passed on to, I want that to be no problem with them.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is if there is a mortgage, the estate is going to have to pay, which that's just a fancy way of saying your assets that are left behind. The estate is going to have to satisfy that mortgage unless it's passed to an heir, and then they would be able to continue to pay on it or sell it and pay off the mortgage. So the big thing is just that it's titled properly in terms of the deed. I'm less concerned about the mortgage. If you had some concern about it, you could check with an estate planning attorney or a real estate attorney just to, you know, advise you legally on this. But I don't see any issue just based on what you're telling me today.
Sounds great. Okay, sir. I just needed to confirm.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head to West Virginia. And Sarah, you'll be our next caller. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I think God led me to this radio station this morning. I had an aneurysm. Brain aneurysm well over a month ago. I'm actually a miracle. God's not done with me.
Wow, that's great. Would you do me a favor, Sarah? Just turn down your radio slightly, and then I want you to pick up right where you left off. I was having trouble hearing you because of the echo.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
Okay, is that good?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't have insurance, and I cannot pay my bills, and I was going. I don't know whether to file medical bankruptcy or to try to work something out with the hospital and the med flight and all that.
Yes. Well, the good news is that, you know, medical providers are very willing and accustomed to working with folks, you know, who don't have the ability to pay the bill, either by, you know, getting you on a payment plan that fits into your budget, or, you know, perhaps, you know, allowing you to pay even a portion of it, you know, even forgiving part of it, depending upon what the procedure was or the surgery was and what balance is owed and what ability you have to pay. So I would only use bankruptcy as a last resort and really approach them to, you know, try to get assistance in getting on a plan that works within your available resources. I know you were interested in CHM. We started today by talking about Christian Healthcare Ministries, and it's a wonderful ministry with hundreds of thousands of Christians that voluntarily share to pay each other's medical bills, and it allows you to cover your own medical bills when you have a need based on the parameters of the program. There is, you know, pre-existing conditions that have to be factored in, and so you'd have to talk to them about your particular situation and what would be covered just based on this pre-existing condition. But if you have the ability financially, and it is very affordable, this could be a great option for you to at least be able to cover the cost of health care moving forward, you know, even while you're still working on paying this back. But, you know, I think I would be pursuing every available option to get help from the hospital, signing up for a repayment plan. Let's see what you can do to avoid filing for bankruptcy, if at all possible. And then to visit with CHM and learn more about their program, just visit the website chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Sarah, we're delighted to hear the Lord still has more in store for you. And thanks for your call today. God bless you. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God. with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Evangelist Billy Graham once said, "Tell me what you think about money, and I'll tell you what you think about God, for these two are closely related." Billy Graham went on to say, a man's heart is closer to his wallet than anything else. You know, we talk often about money issues being heart issues, that ultimately our hearts really drive our financial behaviors. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, the reality is that the greatest obstacle between people and Jesus in our culture is money. We just have to look at the parable of the sower to see that. You remember there's four soils. In the fourth soil, God's word bared a 30, 60, 100-fold return. In the third soil, though, it was choked out. Remember when the disciples came back to Jesus in Mark 4 and said, what was it that choked out the word from bearing the 30, 60, 100-fold return? And Jesus said there was three things. It was the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. Well, the way I look at that, 2.5, let's say, out of three of those are money related. The cares of this world, what do people think about? Well, I think money's up there. I'd give that 1.5. The deceitfulness of riches, check. The desires for other things, well, that's covetousness. And ultimately, I would say 2.5 out of three of those are the driver for what's going to choke out the word and make it to prove unfruitful. Well, we need to then be on our guard. You know, we all want to be fourth soil people, and I'm afraid in our culture especially, we get stuck in the third soil where money is the object of our affection and it's competing with the Lord for first position in our lives. So we need to be on our guard there and be trusting the Lord, holding money loosely, giving it generously, and making sure that we're living rich toward God, which is that really interesting phrase we see there in the parable of the rich fool, which I think is all about handling money in such a way that it's evident that God is our true treasure and not our money. What does that look like in your life? I know it's a question I have to ask myself as well. We all need to ask ourselves before the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? What's the appropriate lifestyle you've called me to? How much should I be saving and giving? And what should I do about my debt? And how should I conduct my financial life so I've got an eternal perspective? Well, we want to help you do that on this program each day and as we gather together and tackle your specific financial questions. So what are you thinking about financially today? The number to call is 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to help you tackle your lifestyle, spending plan. Maybe it's your debt repayment, your giving, your long-term savings or investments, whatever it might be. Give us a call. Again, lines are open. Our team is standing by, 800 525-7000. Before we head back to the phones today, I want to talk about a topic that often I think can trip us up. You know, when we're applying a biblical worldview to financial decision making, we have to think about planning versus presumption. Planning is good. Presumption, well, not so much. As much as we might want to, we can't see into the future, of course. Financial advisors, weather forecasters, sports fans, and parents often try, but the fact remains, even with all of our technology and ingenuity, we can't predict what will happen tomorrow. So while our limited vision doesn't stop us from preparing for the future, we have to be careful not to presume on the future. So let me explain the difference between planning and presumption. Well, first, planning is necessary. Good stewardship of the resources God entrusts to us requires that we make reasonable plans based on biblical principles. Proverbs 6 encourages us to be like the ant who prepares for winter by diligently gathering food in the summer. That's just common sense. The world claims that you can make your plans on your own. But a Christ-centered worldview puts God at the center of all of our plans. One future event should always be a part of our plans. Jesus warns his disciples in Matthew 25 to be spiritually prepared for his return. He says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Well, that brings me to the second issue. Planning is necessary, but when does our planning turn into presumption? Well, to presume is to assume ahead of the facts. In the Bible, presumption is associated with the sins of arrogance and pride. Presuming on the future means you're claiming by your own actions and words that you know what the future holds, which means you're playing God in some respects. James 4:13 describes the problem this way. Listen to these words from the book of James. "Now listen, those of you who say today or tomorrow we will go do this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." It's arrogant to assume that we're captains of our own ship, but that's what we do all too often. It's even worse when we make our plans and then ask God to bless them after the fact. One area we see this all the time in finances is falling into the presumption of borrowing. You know, going into debt presumes that you will be able to repay. Now, debt itself isn't a sin, but we know from God's word, the borrower is a slave to the lender, and being in debt can lead to years of financial struggle. So, how do you plan for the future without presuming? Well, our passage in James 4 offers a solution. Listen to this. It says, "Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." You know, as you walk with the Lord each day, reading his word and meeting him in prayer, present your requests and your plans to him. Pray the prayer Jesus taught us, which says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If you're married, pray together about your hopes and plans. If you have kids, bring them into the process and show them how good it is to trust God with your future. You see, just because we don't know exactly what tomorrow holds doesn't mean we can't make plans. We just need to be sure they align with God's plans for you, ultimately. Now, let me close with this passage, and then we're going to get back to your phone calls here in just a moment. Let me close with this passage from Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. "Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So I hope that's an encouragement to you today as you think about planning and not presuming upon the future. Clearly, we need to be on our guard in that area and ensure that we're trusting God with all of our plans, not trying to intervene, maybe thwart or rob him of the opportunity to provide. And going back to this issue of debt, you know, so often we will rob God of that opportunity to step in when we pull out that plastic, and we want to avoid that. We want to say, "God, I trust you. I want to invite you into my financial life." Maybe you spread the bills out on the kitchen counter and you say, "God, I know you can meet this need. I want to be faithful moving forward. I'm trusting you for the solution. Now, we need to do our part. We need to dial back our spending. We need to get out there and get to work and maybe look for a better paying job. We certainly need to do our part, but we also need to trust God, and we don't need to rob the opportunity for Him to step in when we pull out that credit card. So I hope today you give some careful thought, prayer, and attention to this idea of planning, a good thing, or presuming upon the future, and just try to identify the difference between the two. I'm talking to myself as well. All right, we've got some great questions coming up just around the corner. It looks like nearly all the lines are full. We've got one open at 800-525-7000. So I'm going to take a quick break, but when I come back, we'll tackle these questions and perhaps yours. Again, 800-525-7000. Much more to come still on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Have your dreams been shattered? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Somebody told me early in my ministry, he said, you know, if you preach to broken hearts, you'll always have an audience. And I don't know what your need is today, but God does His best work in the midst of broken, shattered dreams.
Find real hope in Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
Do you really believe that God is in control of your life? On the next Focus on the Family, radio host Brant Hansen will challenge your thinking about what God expects from each of us. He'll explain how much God cares about people who would be considered misfits. It's a message of encouragement about a grace-filled God next time on Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got one line open, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. We'll take as many calls as we can in our last segment today. Let's start in Virginia. Susan, go right ahead. How can I help?
Yes, I just want to, excuse me. In 2003, I ended up going to the emergency room. I was there for about almost 12 hours, and I had no health insurance. And anyway, when I got out, I started paying it, and I took money out of the equity of my house, and everywhere I could, I was trying to reduce the bill. Well, 3 years later, I talked to this lady who worked in the bookkeeping department there at the hospital. She said that when people don't have health insurance, they cut their bill in half, okay? Mm. And I was excited, but by then, I had it down to about $5,000 and something. So I'm really just calling in to talk to, I hope that lady that called you earlier is still listening. There is a way, and I like what you said too about putting your bills on the table and said, Lord, this is yours. You can take care of it. Show me what to do, or however you said it. But anyway, that's what I want to tell you.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that, Susan, because that's an encouragement to some people out there who have these sky-high medical bills. They, you know, didn't have a choice as to the care that they needed, and often they're in a situation where they just don't have the financial means to pay. And, you know, I have found, like you're describing, that medical providers are some of the most willing folks to work with us on our bills, not only in getting you on a payment plan, but as you said, in some cases, just in fact, you know, cutting it back dramatically. They're expecting that to happen from an insurance provider when there is one. And when there's not, they often don't expect somebody who's a cash payer to come in and cover the full amount. So as you said, perhaps as even a starting point, a 50% reduction is not out of the question. So thank you for taking the time to share your experience. I know that'll be an encouragement, and I agree. I hope our previous caller is listening. God bless you, Susan. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Stacy. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you for your call.
Oh, I appreciate it. I have a question about teacher retirement and Social Security. I worked from 1995 to 2009 as either a teacher aide or a teacher. I tore both Achilles tendons with lupus about 3 months apart, lost my job, and so I was out of work. And then I've worked all my life and put into Social Security, but now since 2011, I've worked here at the job I'm at right now. And so a rumor has gone around that we cannot draw from teacher retirement and Social Security, and I wanted to hear what you had to say.
Yeah, you need to check with the Social Security Administration on your specific situation. But often what that comes down to is just the fact that many teachers don't pay into Social Security because they're paying into a pension instead.
In some cases,
yeah, the teacher's retirement system. So, you know, in many cases, they have what's called a windfall elimination provision, which is basically a recalculation of your Social Security benefit if you have a pension from non-covered work where no Social Security taxes were paid. And so then the Social Security formula is substituted with a new calculation that results in a lower benefit, or you just may not have any benefit at all, again, if you've not paid in. And so I think you need to contact the Social Security Administration and set up a meeting and just go over your specific situation and find out, you know, if you only qualify for the TRS because you've never paid in, then you're not going to receive a Social Security benefit, and instead you'll just take your teacher's retirement.
Yeah, I've put into both.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yes. And my other question, I'm 61 and a half. Wanting to retire, and that was the thing, as I thought, well, my husband's like, well, go ahead and start drawing your teacher retirement, and then when you retire from this job, then your Social Security could start.
Yeah, potentially. It's just going to be based on whether you have enough credits on your work record out apart from being a teacher where you weren't paying in, if that was the case, to qualify for any benefits. And that's going to require at least 40 quarters or 10 years worth of benefits, you know, of Social Security taxes being paid in on your work record. And they'll be able to tell you, you know, whether you have enough qualifying credits to have your own benefit. And if you do, potentially, you would be able to take that at some point.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
I sure appreciate it. And I just love y'all's show.
You're very sweet.
You just don't know how it's blessed me.
Well, thank you for saying that, Stacy. That means a lot. May the Lord bless you as well. And thanks for being on the program today. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Louisiana. Hi, B. How can I help you?
Hi. Good morning. I was calling to see if you could give me information on annuities or just a rundown of the different annuities that are available.
Yeah, very good. So basically, this is an insurance contract. It's an investment option that provides a guaranteed income for an individual or an individual and their spouse throughout their lifetime. So this would be a contract with an insurance company. You select the type of annuity that you want. There's several types to your question. There's an immediate annuity, which starts a monthly payout based on a single premium that you pay in, so a lump sum you pay in, and then they convert that to an income stream. There's a deferred annuity, which starts paying at a later date. There's a fixed annuity, which just gives you a guaranteed fixed amount. So think of it like a CD or something like that, where they bear the investment risk, but they give you a fixed rate of return, and they will specify what that is in the contract. And then there's two other types that have variable returns. One is an indexed annuity, which is you get a portion of the investment returns of what the annuity is invested in. Usually it's pegged to one of the market indexes, like the S&P 500, 500 largest stocks in the country, or a variable annuity, which has, you know, various investments in it, and you get a portion of that as well. So there are different types, basically in two categories, the fixed, which is a stated rate of return, versus the variable, which is going to depend upon the performance of the underlying investments inside the annuity. And then there's the growth phase, where it's continuing to grow. And then beyond that, there's the distribution phase, where you're pulling out a monthly income stream. So the real decision for folks often to determine whether an annuity makes sense, and if you've listened to this program, you know I'm not a huge fan of them just because they're complicated and expensive, and you lose access to your money without a surrender charge, and ultimately you lose all of it when you die. You don't have the principal to pass on as an inheritance or give it away. But it's ultimately about whether you want to have a guaranteed income stream and you want to transfer that risk that you're assuming if you were to invest it yourself in the market or somebody were to invest it for you, you're transferring that to the insurance company. And they're saying, listen, we'll take your whatever amount you're going to put into this annuity and we'll invest it. And then we'll either give you a guaranteed rate of return or a portion of the investments. And then at some point, no matter what it grows to, you have the ability to annuitize, which just means based on what amount it has grown to inside the annuity, they're going to convert that into a monthly check for the rest of your life or for the rest of your life plus your spouse. And for some folks that maybe have a gap in the income that they need to cover their bills, having that peace of mind to know that the insurance company is going to pay you that monthly check every month for the rest of your life gives them peace of mind. But again, my preference for most folks, and this isn't every case, but in most cases, would be for you to retain that amount that you would have put into the annuity, invest that on your own, or hire an advisor to do it for you, and you get 100% of the growth, and you still have access to your money if you ever needed it for something that kind of comes unexpectedly. Now, they're complicated. I threw a lot at you there, but was that helpful at all, B?
It was very helpful. Yes, very helpful.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you very much.
I think
much.
You're welcome. At the end of the day, you know, if you want somebody to help you understand in more detail whether an annuity works for you or what the alternatives are, and if you want an annuity, what type, you know, to get, I would contact a certified Kingdom advisor in your area. And you can do that on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. And you can search for a CKA right there in Louisiana and see if somebody can help you do a little bit of planning and decide your best path forward. God bless you. Thank you for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Let's head to Tennessee. Hi, Sherry. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. I'm curious as to what someone like me, I'm 56, I'm a senior in college because I did not foresee the end of my marriage happening so late in life. And I do not have Social Security to rely on as I age out because I've been married most of my life. So what does someone like me do? What can we do to better our existence as we age? And I have disabilities as well.
Yes. Well, what about your husband, ex-husband? Does he have Social Security benefits coming to him?
Well, we are in our 50s, so yes, he will.
Okay. Okay. So you'll get, as long as you qualify, and you should, a spousal benefit as much as half of your ex-husband's primary insurance amount. Even as a divorced person. So as long as you are at least 62, so this is coming down the road, and not currently married, then if you're divorced from a person who receives Social Security benefits, then you would be entitled to that spousal benefit. So I would contact the Social Security Administration, and this doesn't affect his benefit at all. This is just something that would come to you. And so that would be something I'd want to get more information on and know exactly what you might be expecting when you reach age 62, so you can factor that into your planning. Apart from that, the key is, I think, to get some wise counsel. That could be where one of our certified Christian financial counselors or a certified Kingdom advisor could help you, because I realize a lot of this is probably overwhelming. And beyond that, I would, trust the Lord in all that you do. But we appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. May the Lord bless you. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Have a great rest of your day. I want to say thanks to my team, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.